I'd like to start by giving you some words of wisdom. And then I'll tell you the title of my lesson this morning. Kind of falls in line with that. Some words of wisdom. Anybody who sleeps like a baby doesn't have one. At my age, I've seen it all. I've heard it all, and I've done it all. But now, I just can't seem to remember it at all. He who laughs last thinks the slowest. The early bird gets the worm, but it takes the second mouse to get the cheese. Think about that one for a moment. There are three kinds of people: those who can count, those who can't. People are more strongly opposed to fur than to leather because it's safer to harass rich women than motorcycle gangs. Some minds are like concrete. They are thoroughly mixed up and they are permanently set. So we think about some of these words of wisdom. My sermon title this morning is "Don't Just Do Something, Sit There." And as I go through this lesson this morning, I'd like to develop that. Don't just do something, sit there. Completely opposite of what most of the time we have heard. Don't just sit there, do something. This morning we'd like to look at, don't just do something, sit there. Our text this morning is found in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. And as you're looking that up, if you were asked, if I asked you, what is your favorite part of the Sunday morning worship? What would your answer be? I'm sure I would get answers like, I like the song service. I like seeing everyone. I like to watch Mark try to figure out how to use the thermometer when he's taking temperatures. Might be. I like the prayer time. And so on. One minister actually asked some of his congregation that question. And one person said it was the reflection time at communion that he liked the most. The minister looked at the person and was surprised. He says, "You mean it's not my sermon that you like the best?" "Oh no, preacher, it's definitely the communion reflection time." So the minister asked what made that time so meaningful. To which the church member said it was because his whole week was so full, and it was so busy, and it was so intense. But when it came time for communion, and the associated time for reflection, it was the only time all week when he could just sit back, be quiet, and be with God. Back when I taught school, I remember how much I enjoyed the time in my classroom after returning from coaching. It would be about 6 or 7 o'clock. And I remember all the other teachers have left. And I enjoyed sitting in my classroom in peace and quiet, preparing for the next day. What a refreshing time that was. Now I'd like to look at our text, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. Immediately, his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee, of course, speaking of Jesus. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the home of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were all demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. I'm going to pause right there for a moment. Think about what is being done. The whole city came to Jesus. for some type of healing. Think about the world we live in, the hospitals, how many people are at the hospitals visiting and so on. They saw Jesus do this miracle working with Peter's mother-in-law. And now the whole city shows up for healing. Jesus, in his love and compassion, does heal them all. Verse 35, how does Jesus react to that? Verse 35, we would all probably think of sleeping in the next day, wouldn't we? I'm so exhausted, I'm just going to sleep in. Notice what it says in verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen long before daylight, Jesus gets up even the earliest. Why? Because he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because it's for this purpose I have come forth." Most of us are simply too busy to stop and do nothing for even a few moments each week, aren't we? Most of us feel like we need to be active every minute of the day. We confuse busyness with being productive, successful, effective, and meaningful. So it comes as a surprise to read our New Testament lesson here and to find Jesus not being so busy with life. In fact, in the midst of a very, 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 don't get me wrong, he's very busy for that moment in his life, but he must sneak off to a solitary place and pray. Quiet time. Does nothing but talking to God. How much you can do or accomplish. So I'm going to say it a different way. Quiet time is doing nothing but talking to God. We want to just quiet, relax. It's in those moments that I think about and I reflected to God the most. When you, early in the morning, when you see a sunrise. I remember years ago for 25th anniversary, my wife and I got a chance to go to Hawaii. And there was a summit. They call it like the seventh wonder of the world. One of the wonders of the world is watching the sunrise on this mountaintop. And it was bizarre. We drove up this mountain. We get to the top. It's quiet. It's almost like you're the only people there. And you're sitting, but then you can hear other people talking. You can't see them, but you know that they're there. I mean, it was pitch black. You're sitting there, and you just sit down, and you just sit. And then all of a sudden, you see the sun start to rise. And the first beams of sunlight. And by the time the sun starts to rise, you realize this place is packed. There's people all around you, but you didn't know it. You were just sitting there quiet. And just to watch the sun come up. And the peacefulness that you have. And the total appreciation of God's creation. When you're sitting there quietly, waiting and anticipating and watching the sunrise. And I'm sure we've all seen that, watching a baby born. Sitting, sometimes with us, our little ones, when you'd sit in the middle of the night, when they wake up and you're rocking them and they fall asleep. And you're sitting there and just the pride you have, the quiet time of looking at your creation that God has helped with you. And you look at this little one. Just the quiet time. Most of us are too busy to do anything like that. Most of us feel like we need to be busy doing something. And for some reason, prayer just doesn't feel busy or active enough. We are a people, we are a society in which being busy makes us feel like we are worthwhile. What have you done today? What have you accomplished? If we are not doing something, there is something within us that makes us feel like we are lazy, or that we are just wasting time. There was a generation or two, think about this, a generation or two ago, the life of the family was going to be revolutionized by the creation of the automatic washing machine. Up until then, washing the family laundry literally took an entire day. People referred to one day of their weekly routine as wash day. Then technology came through with the washing machine. And you could throw the clothes into a machine and then leave it and just go do something else. What a time saver. So what happened? Did we get more time to relax? Oh, no. No, we filled that time with other duties, didn't we? Then the computer came along, and it was the same way. It enables us to do more work in a lot less time. But do we get off work early? No. We simply do more work. There is something within us that compels us to fill up every moment of time that we have. Even if we are not talking about work, our families are stretched to the limit with the activities as we go from ballet class to soccer to outings at the beach to concerts to this and to that. It is as if we were afraid of what might happen if we were just to sit still for a moment. Now look at our passage today. Jesus is very busy. In fact, Mark's gospel is probably the most compatible gospel paralleling to our current society. Because Mark gives the impression that everyone is always in a hurry, that everybody's busy. The word immediately appears over 50 times in the Gospel of Mark. Mark tells us the story of Jesus being baptized, and then he says, and immediately the Holy Spirit sent him into the desert. Then Jesus encounters Simon and Andrew fishing and invites them to be disciples, and Mark says, immediately they left their nets. Jesus heals people and casts out demons. And immediately and quickly, the news spread about Jesus. Finally, after a fast-paced beginning, Mark says in verse 35, as I highlighted, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Even in the fast pace and very successful and meaningful life of Jesus, there was the need to sometimes retreat to a quiet, lonely place for reflection, for meditation, for prayer, and for communion with God. This is absolutely necessary in our current busy lives. It makes our busy lives worthwhile and bearable. More than bearable, times of being in a solitary and quiet place with God enable us to do work that we are to do. Jesus doesn't just go to that quiet and solitary place and stay there. He goes there to recharge his spiritual batteries. Being there enables him to then get up, to move on, and to find other places to preach this message. Now, if you think that living life in a fast-paced, busy fashion is only a problem to the modern age, think again. Think about the Gospel of Luke. There is a story of Jesus in Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Of Jesus being hosted by sisters Martha and Mary. Jesus comes to their home. If you remember, Mary is content to be still and silent and to be with Jesus, just taking in all that Jesus has to say and just spending time with him. Martha can't do that. She has to be busy, so she complains to Jesus that her sister isn't helping her with the work. In the words of Luke's gospel, Martha becomes distracted and upset at many things. And so it is with us, isn't it? Jesus is, or should be, in the midst of our lives. But we become distracted and upset at many things. Our world is so busy, our lives are so full. Wouldn't it be nice if we could slow down just a bit and be still? And simply experience the presence of God in our lives. Wouldn't it be nice if we could, in the midst of work, family pressures, in the work, school work, and just turn off the television, turn off the cell phones, and just sit in quiet and pray to God. Being still and quiet from time to time is God's will for our lives. First, we need to rest from all our work, and then find that solitary place of quiet. An old-time minister shared a conversation he had with one of his church members. He said that one day, an angry church member called him saying, "Hey, I called you Saturday, but I couldn't get you." The preacher explained that Saturdays was his day off. Huh. What? You have a day off? The devil never takes a day off. The member said with his holier-than-thou attitude. The minister says, you're right. And if I didn't take any time out, I would probably be just like him. We all need time in our week when we slow down and become still and become reflecting on God. It is vital for our soul. It is so important in this principle that God made the commandment for a day of rest. Notice it said when he created a Sabbath, it was part of the Ten Commandments. We know that God created the world, and then we know that he rested. Heal me from my headache. Make my car last another week. Bring down the gas prices. Do something about this pandemic. Are all demands that we make on God, isn't it? But prayer is spending time with God. It might involve asking for things. It might involve thanking God for things. It might be involved just simply being with God. Have you ever simply spent time with someone and you just sat there quietly? I already mentioned to you in Hawaii, my wife and I just sat there quietly taking it all in. Everybody else did the same thing because you didn't even know anybody was there until the sunlight came up. And like I said, there had to be 200, 300 people there. We didn't know it. We were all just taking in the moment. Perhaps your spouse, a moment of quiet. Perhaps holding your child. Perhaps at the bedside of a sick parent. I remember never wanting, when I was growing up, told my parents, I don't want to go to the funeral. I don't know what to say. And what is the response that what you would say? Many times you don't have to say anything. Just being there. I have learned that. There have been funerals that I have gone to. And really, there have been times, believe it or not, I really didn't almost say anything. You just walk up and let the family know you're there. Whether it's just an arm around them, a hug, just to stand in their presence with them and look at the memorable board that they have. Whatever it is, you just need to share time with them. We need more of that time spent with God. Quiet time with God. We rarely find God in the hectic moments in our lives, but we often can find him in the quiet moments. First Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, Elijah had an interesting experience. Many of us would remember this. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. The Lord told him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now suppose you're Elijah. Now we've all sat somewhere. Maybe you're waiting for a bus. You're waiting for somebody to show up. Here, Elijah's told to get on the mountaintop, and the Lord is going to pass by. What would you be waiting for? A trumpet sound? A big vision in the sky? An explosion? An earthquake? Notice what it says. The Bible says there was a great and powerful wind that tore through the mountains and tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Then it was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. There came a great fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after fire came a still and small voice, and it was there that God was. It had been stated that God rarely is found in the midst of noise and restlessness. Instead, he is the friend of silence. In Psalms 37 and 7, in one Psalm 37 and 7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. We can also read in Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. But we are too much like Martha, aren't we? Just as it says that she was in the Gospel of Luke, we are distracted and we are upset by many things. We live like Martha in a world where we would not take the time to sit and relax with God. We live in a Martha world when what God would have us to do is just be still and be quiet in His presence. That's what God would like us to do. In the busyness of our lives, we need to be like Mary. There are times when we need to just stop, be quiet and still, and rest in the simple presence of the Lord. It is good for our own soul. It is good for our relationship with others. It is definitely good for our relationship with God. Several years ago, newspapers told of how a new Navy jet fighter shot itself down. It was flying at supersonic speed. It ran into cannon shells that it had fired only a few seconds before. The jet was traveling too fast. Some of us are traveling through our lives way too fast. We're going to find ourselves in the mode of self-destruction at the speed we are traveling. There comes times when we need to slow down and let our souls catch up with us. And even though we live in a Martha world, we need to be still and quietly rest in the presence of the Lord. Then comes the next step. So we think about it. Stop and smell the roses. Song number 68, count the many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. We need to take the moment to stop and realize what we have. Often in my life when we make mistakes, what do we think? Wow, I didn't take the time to stop and think about that before I reacted. We need to take the time to think, take time to share with God in solitude. But then the next step is action. If you've ever been on the filming of a movie, on the set, you know, the characters get into place and the director yells, action! Immediately, the actors do just that. They get into action. Over and over again, the director will yell, action! There is something about that word action. It's exciting. Hearing it sort of energizes everyone. It means that they are supposed to do something and get to work. Quiet time is over. Time to work. The word amen is like that, isn't it? It's like a director saying, action! We tend to treat the word amen as if it were a goodbye. A sort of like hanging up the phone. We have our prayer and we say amen, as if we are disconnecting from God. But prayer should be a constant thing. It should be an attitude and a frame of mind that never ends. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, and I bet you've all heard this verse before. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Never say amen as a way of disconnecting from God. Rather, when we say amen, it's a way of the director saying, action. The end of the prayer now requires us action. There are times when we should not just do something, but just sit there in quiet prayer. But there are also times when we should say to yourself, now that I have taken the time to reflect and pray to God, now I need to get up and put these words in action. In our passage today, Jesus sneaks off for prayer in a quiet, solitary place. The disciples find him, and at the end of the prayer time, Jesus gets up and gets on with the action. What does Jesus say? In the last verse of our text, Jesus tells his disciples, let us now go somewhere else. Let us move on to the next towns, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. Because that is my purpose. That is what I have come for. That is what I have come to do. So we sit quietly, reflect with God, and then get up to continue our work that God has set us to do. At the end of the prayer, when you say amen, what action do you do? Do you pray for the sick and then just leave it at that? Or do you pray for the sick and then pick up the phone and call them to let them know you are thinking about them? Or do you ask if there's anything you can do for them? Maybe bring a hot meal for them. Maybe medicine that they need to have picked up. Do you pray for the poor and hope God does something about the poor? Or do you pray and ask God to use you? Do you put actions to your prayer? Giving it to the poor, working with the Habitat for Humanity, donating food to the food pantry? Do you pray that God would help our church grow and then hope that God inspires someone else to do something? Or do you pray and then say, as Jesus says, I now have to go somewhere so I can tell someone about the good news of Jesus? And that's the point of today's message. Our lives are so busy that we often don't take the time. How many times do you say, well, if I could only find the time? I would love to sit and pray at night if I could only find the time. I would love to do more for God and for Christ if I only had the time. We need to stop from time to time and go to that solitary place for prayer, for time of reflection, for time of quiet to see what God has done. And then at the end of the prayer, get up and get busy with the things that are most important, and that is to carry out the work of God. The lesson is yours. If there is anyone that is in need of the, whether it be in baptized to contact the blood that washes away our sin, or to ask for the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need is, you have the opportunity to come forward and make it right as together we stand and sing our song of invitation.